Many years ago, I was one of the first kids in our immediate family to go to college, and that made Mom and Dad pretty proud, but the real goal was for me to get a good job. Today, college remains a path to a successful career, but it is not the only path. Businesses are almost begging for workers who are highly skilled, but not necessarily college graduates. Career Tech in Ohio aims to meet that demand for skilled workers, and it is our topic this week on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
Not everybody wants to graduate college with a PhD, and that's a good thing because along with the doctorates, doctors, and lawyers, we need masons, mechanics, carpenters, electricians, and thousands of other skilled professionals. Encouraging and preparing people to enter those necessary careers is our topic today, and our guests are Christine Gardner, Executive Director of the Ohio Association for Career and Technical Education, and Tim Harmon, Director of Customized Workforce Recruitment and Training for Columbus 2020, which is an economic development organization here in Central Ohio. Christine, Tim, both of you, welcome to Town Hall Ohio.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Before we get too much into our topic, let's just give folks a little bit more background. Christine, tell me about the association that you're involved with, please.
All right. The Ohio Association for Career and Technical Education represents all of the career tech programs across the state. That includes what you might be familiar with as career centers in your local community, also comprehensive high schools where career tech programming is delivered through the high school, and also another delivery system which is called a comprehensive and compact. But the bottom line is that every student, every high school student in Ohio has the opportunity to take part in career technical education programs.
Compact. That's something new to me.
A compact is an alliance of schools who get together to each offer a different career technical program. Maybe one school offers health career programs and another offers manufacturing, and those students can choose to go to whichever program is offered by that high school within their compact model.
Tim, I mentioned that the Columbus 2020 is an economic development type of organization, but give us a bit more than that.
That's right. We are the Central Ohio region's economic development organization. We cover an 11-county footprint, and we work in harmony with Jobs Ohio, the state of Ohio's economic development engine. And collectively with the other five regional organizations, we cover the entire state of Ohio.
So many years ago, maybe not that many years ago, we called this vocational education. Christine, talk to us a little bit about why we've moved to different terminology and what we're really talking about.
Well, it changed to career technical education in order to get across the idea that it involves more than just what people traditionally remember as vocational programs. But vocational programs are still a part of career technical education, and I think they deserve the same weight and the same understanding as career technical programs. It's just that the term career technical is a lot more broad.
Tim, from your perspective, why is this type of education an important component of our overall educational efforts?
Well, it's a critical component because as our skill set evolves in the workplace, we need to have that training that's meeting the in-demand skills. And that training doesn't necessarily require a four-year degree. It can happen in a much smaller time frame because those jobs are being created and the technology is evolving faster than what a four-year degree could meet.
You touched on a little bit about what Columbus 2020 does, but help me connect what you do with the career tech piece of what we're discussing today. Is it your job to find out what businesses want and then figure out how to serve up those kind of employees?
Absolutely. That's it in a nutshell, but it's a little more detailed than that. It's not just finding what's in demand, it's also forecasting what the future skills are and ensuring that we build partnerships and relationships through our career techs with industry, because that's a critical relationship and how we're going to meet the ongoing demand, not just today, but for the next decade and beyond.
It seems, and I'll let both of you comment on this, but it seems to me that this whole piece of education is going through a resurgence, that it's really becoming a bigger part of the educational conversation.
And I would totally agree with that. I've been executive director of Ohio ACTE for 10 years, and it seems like the last several years there has been new focus and especially new respect for career technical education. So that's been really gratifying as we work with people like Tim and local businesses, that career technical education is now part of all of the conversations when we're talking about workforce development.
And it has to be. Our population is not growing to meet the demand of the job creation. So kudos to our economic development teams for creating the jobs. However, to meet that job skill demand, we're having to reskill workers faster. And one of the great ways we can do that is through our career tech. So it's not just for the traditional K-12 student. It's also for that adult learner.
Before we get much deeper into this, I want to hear from an old friend of mine. Chuck Fluardi is a Buckeye who grew up in rural eastern Ohio, and he's now president of the Rural Policy Research Institute at the University of Iowa. And I talked to him over the telephone recently, and he shared what he believes is one of the challenges of getting more people to attend tech schools and college, for that matter. And he says it's not an educational problem. It is a cultural problem.
Sort of cultures that that predispose a young woman or man to think less directly about a longer-term career development track. Over time, you build a sense of, I won't call it hopelessness, but I will call it sort of regional malaise. And as an example, if you look at all the young people in our country from 18 to 24 years old, 42% of those are in higher education. In urban areas, it's 48%, and in rural areas, it's 29%. Folks may go off and try community college or tech school, or maybe even go to the land-grant university or regional university. But what we call in the educational field persistence in learning, moving from entry to ending up graduating, far, far lower in rural settings, particularly in our persistent poverty areas and our under-resourced rural regions. This gets amplified by what's going on in the social determinants of health, the opioid crisis, the drug crisis, basically the cultural underpinnings, whether there's no one else in the family that has ever experienced the challenge of college, or I'm in a cohort where the majority of the folks aren't going on, what's my point in doing this? Because frankly, very often, you're moving in a culture on a much larger scale than you may be used to in your little rural high school. It adds up and it's additive. And the only thing I would say, Joe, around that is, where that is directly attacked, where that cultural challenge is attacked by the school system, it can make a huge difference in how young people in that community think about going on to technical or community college. And I would say this varies a great deal by whether it's a VOAG program or an FFA program or a 4-H program. Those of us in production agriculture really are advantaged because those relationships with the land grants, the technical schools, that helps that. But there is a lot of rural America that is not about production agriculture, and that's the area that this mainly hits. And I would just say for your listeners in Ohio, the Buckeye State is uniquely blessed in this regard. We have much better outcomes because of the infrastructure of our rural school systems. There are many states that simply do not have those underpinnings for the young rural men and women.
Chuck Fluardi is with the Rural Policy Research Institute at the University of Iowa. Christine, Tim, I'll let you respond. In a nutshell, Chuck's contention is that we need to boost the interest level, willingness, the confidence level of young people that may not have gone to a career school or even a university.
Well, and I think a lot of that comes from when I was in high school, and like you mentioned, you went on to college and were the first person in your family to do so. And it used to be that career tech or vocational programs were only meant for those students who weren't planning to further their education. And I think that created a big divide. And a lot of students who might have been interested in a career tech program or their talents lay in doing some of those more technical skills were steered a different pathway just because of what Chuck mentioned as the cultural challenge that we face. So I think that that is changing. It's changing a lot. And I think that it's students who are responsible for changing it. I hear stories time and again from students who wanted to go to a career tech program and take part in it, but they actually had to talk their parents into allowing them to pursue that option. So, like I said, I think that it's changing, but I agree with Chuck that there's still a big cultural challenge out there.
I agree with what Chuck shared also, and I think some credit should be given to the state of Ohio in the way that we've reformed our K-12 career tech 2-year and 4-year pathways. We now have direct linkage where a student can take college credit plus in the high school level, earn that career tech degree, and also be earning an associate's degree in harmony with the community college. And that linkage that the state of Ohio and the Ohio Department of Higher Education have created enables those students to not make a choice between one or the other. They can actually be learning those in-demand skills at 16, 17 years of age and also pursuing college credits.
So my I was never in a career tech or VOAG program. Wish I would have been in VOAG, but can't fix that now. I wouldn't fit in the blue jacket anyway. But I know what it looked like back then because a lot of my buddies were in VOAG and participated in FFA, and they got a lot of leadership training. They got a lot of actual skills training. They got a lot of exposure to the business world. Does it still look like that today?
It absolutely looks like that today, and it's in every career tech program. Learning leadership skills, learning business skills. It's really embedded in each of the career tech programs because that's what it's all about, learning how to function and how to use those skills. So all of what you just mentioned is really a big part of what's taught in the career tech programs.
An underlying foundation within the career tech programs here in Ohio is the skills for success, and those skills are outlined in the basics that employers want. Communication skills, teamwork, leadership, those are all fundamental in all of our career techs across Ohio.
And I wish I could remember who it was, but we had someone in here, we were talking about changes in the entire educational system, and I found it, sorry to admit, I found it surprising that we even have to be more basic in some of these, that we have to help young people understand that when you have a job, you show up for your job. If your car's broke down, you got to find a way to get to work. I mean, just these basic skills to set the alarm clock.
Exactly. I mean, some of these used to come from the parents or the household, and now we've turned to the school system, the education system, to teach these. And candidly, the traditional education system may not be teaching that. The career tech absolutely does. These students are put on projects that they have accountability, they have timelines, they have requirements. And they often have to be in before and after the traditional student might take classes.
We will talk more about career tech, how we can find young people that are interested and help businesses put them to work in Ohio. Christine Gardner, Ohio Association for Career Tech, Tim Harmon, Columbus 2020. We'll be back right after this. We're talking about what kinds of work might be good to get in Ohio, good for both future employees and for the businesses that need them. Career technical education is our subject this week on Town Hall Ohio. Helping us explore that is Tim Harmon. He's with Columbus 2020, and Christine Gardner with the Ohio Association for Career Tech. Tim was talking a little bit about the non-traditional education that career tech students may receive, and Christine, I know you wanted to follow up about this whole idea of soft skills. What are soft skills and how does career tech help there?
Well, business and industry is always talking about the need for soft skills. I like to refer to them as essential skills. It is the basics that we learn, you know, hopefully from our parents or role models in our lives. But a lot of times that's the instructor in the career tech program. He or she has been a business person. He or she has been out in the workforce. And so they're modeling for these students those essential skills, and they're including in every class, you know, how important it is not just to be able to do something, but to have the right attitude, to show up on time, to put your cell phone away when appropriate, and all of those different type things. So because the career tech programs really try to provide a real world experience, it's just that all of those types of essential skills have to be part of the program.
So Christine put it politely that in the past we used to think career tech was for kids who didn't want to go to college, but in reality I think a lot of times it was viewed for kids who couldn't get in to college. Either way, who are the kids that we're seeing, Tim, entering the career tech education training regimen now? Who makes this group up?
It's candidly every student, and we're also seeing a large surge in female students because we've come out and we've promoted STEM pathways, and they get excited in fifth and sixth and seventh grade and realize they can be engineers, they can be folks who create and model things, but they want to get hands-on with it as quickly as they can because that's the nature of our society today, to move quickly. And so when that career tech comes and visits in eighth grade, they say, yes, I want to enroll in ninth grade and 10th grade, and I want to be hands-on. And they may even track on to a community college degree or to a four-year degree, but you're seeing more and more female students and also students who have a desire to get hands-on in technical programs engaging in the career techs early on.
And I'd just like to add to that, Tim, that a lot of the programs at career tech schools serve all students. There are special needs students. There are students who otherwise would have dropped out because they didn't see the relevancy of what they were learning through their academics. And then there's also the students who are going to college, the students who want to get a head start in their medical career or are learning robotics and then want to move on in that field, or a lot of pre-engineering programs. And I think those are the types of programs that people often don't realize are part of the career tech programs.
Absolutely. And Christine mentioned the robotics programs. We have some of the brightest fifth graders in America in Marion, Ohio, in the RamTech programs that are being founded and supported through Honda. So industry is playing a direct role in promoting the advance of technology to those students, and those students are primed for the career tech pathway and often are leading the nation in their accomplishments.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was one of the things I wanted to ask about. What are we doing in Ohio, or are we doing something to facilitate this, or is it happening organically where industry is getting involved at that fourth and fifth grade level and high school level, where the businesses aren't just taking whatever we kick out, but having some influence on how we're getting kids trained up?
So it's happening on both pathways. In some situations, the local community has a great employer and they're engaging directly with the career tech. In other situations, the Department of Education and the state of Ohio are taking the lead. They've created
pathways for
success for the industry to engage. And even some of the trade associations are engaging directly with the career techs and helping those career techs have the resources so that they can teach what's in demand and current.
And what I have seen, too, is for a long time there was finger pointing from business and industry. Why isn't education fixing this? Why isn't education providing us the type of workforce that we need? And now I think that they've realized that education is part of the solution, but business and industry has to be part of the discussion, and they have to put some effort into it, like the businesses that help out with these robotics programs or help with with interest in some of these new and emerging types of workforce. They have to be a part of the solution, and there's no more finger pointing.
Yes, many of the businesses, and healthcare especially as well, are opening up their facilities to allow 15 and 16-year-olds into co-op and internship experiences because they realize they need to engage the student early and give them the option of that health tech career path or a X-ray technician career path, which the career tech is readily set up to serve.
So we've only got a moment here before break. Tim, just a website or a resource you would throw out there for people who say, you know, this could be for me or for my kids or my grandkids.
Absolutely. You know, I would look at ramtechohio.com. That's a great way for students to engage in the robotics programs, but also education.ohio.gov and search career tech. And the state of Ohio's website gives you all of the different pathways and options that parents and students can look at together.
And I would say that this is all local, so contact your local career center or your local career tech program to find out more about how students can benefit from these programs.
Christine Gardner, Ohio Association for Career Tech, Tim Harmon, Columbus 2020. We'll be back in a moment.
Be macho blithe when you get a better paying job. You'll be macho blithe when you get a better paying job.
We are talking about career technical education in Ohio, how it benefits our young people and businesses across the Buckeye State. Tim Harmon of Columbus 2020 is in the studio with us, as is Christine Gardner. She's with the Ohio Association for Career Tech. So we've been talking about this wonderful concept. Let's get a little bit deeper into the weeds on this. In terms of jobs, Tim, that the Ohio business community needs to fill, and we're working to fill. Give me your top two or three or four actual jobs that career tech could help fill.
Absolutely. Ohio's got a great diverse economy and across multiple industries. And one of our stable industries is advanced manufacturing. And so we look for maintenance technicians and even technical line operators are critical for those facilities to continue to operate and meet production demand. Additionally, Ohio is well-centered in the United States as a great logistics hub, and so we need a lot of folks that can work in transportation and logistics. So it could be, as you know, the entry-level at warehouse operator, but it also can be a forklift operator, and many of our students who grew up on a farm know how to run equipment and know how to run machines, and there's an easy transition for them directly into some of those roles.
And it is it's all local too. Tim talks about what's statewide what we're seeing, and it really depends on the local community. What are the needs? It might be manufacturing, it might be healthcare, it might be some high level technology. So really the thing that I love about career tech and the programs is that they can respond to those local needs, and they have the ability to work with the businesses and talk about what kind of skills that they need in their workforce.
Well, one of the industries that needs a skilled workforce is agriculture, and whether you're talking about farming or being a food scientist, Ohio Farm Bureau and our foundation has a project in place to help bring along an interest level in students. We call it the Explore Ag Program. And I talked to Chris Baker, who is the exec for our Ohio Farm Bureau Foundation, to learn more about Explore Ag.
Explore Ag is meant to be a week-long experience for high school freshmen and sophomores, where scholars will be introduced to a wide variety of career opportunities within food, agriculture, and the natural resources.
And by exposed, this is going to be a pretty high-level exposure.
Absolutely. So students will have an opportunity to interact directly with instructors from the Ohio State University, Central State, and other higher ed around the state. But you also have an opportunity for them to interact directly with industry expertise, you know, as well, too. So we're kind of building those, you know, two components into the programming that we do.
Now, this is going to be good for the kids, but it's going to be good for agriculture. We need people paying attention to our industry and maybe thinking about a career in it.
One of the things that we know and at least have been aware of for some time now, is we're actually attracting fewer and fewer young people to careers within agriculture. So we anticipate nearly 18,000 new jobs in food, agriculture, and natural resources to be added each year. And the unfortunate reality that we keep running into is we're not filling those jobs to the same level that we need to.
Apparently the idea, Chris, of helping kids get exposure to agriculture, career centers, community colleges, they like what we're doing and they've got some interest in it.
For the first time ever, our foundation is kind of put the call out there to organizations all across the state, really asking them to identify programs that would introduce students to or train them for high-demand careers in food, agriculture, and natural resources. So we've really been trying to put our money where our mouth is. By April 15th, we're looking for submissions to a $100,000 RFP that we have hanging out there.
And where do folks learn more?
All of the details of RFP are available on our website at www.ofbfoundation.org.
Tell us about the foundation, its overall purpose.
Our foundation has existed since 1984, and we started off really with an emphasis on providing, student scholarships and helping out with a few Farm Bureau projects throughout our history. But we've grown now into a full-service, foundation. So we offer for, individuals across the state the same high level of opportunity to make investments in their community, as you might see with the Columbus Foundation or Ohio State University Foundation.
So Explore Ag and several other projects of the foundation are under the umbrella of the Jack Fisher Fund for Lifelong Learning. Town Hall Ohio listeners will remember Jack as our immediate past executive vice president. And while Jack has been very active in helping to build this, folks like Nationwide and others, we need to say a thank you to them for making it happen financially.
Absolutely. Nationwide, Farm Credit, and also the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation were kind of the key contributors to the Jack Fisher Fund when we got started. Since that time, we've been benefiting, a lot through individuals such as yourself that have made, individual contributions to the fund. So we're all invested in making this successful endeavor.
And that is Chris Baker, and he is with the Ohio Farm Bureau Foundation. And if you'd like to learn more about the foundation, visit the website Chris mentioned, or you can just go to ofbf.org and we can point you in the right direction as well. We'll talk more about career tech with Christine Gardner and Tim Harmon when we continue.
And we climb that ladder, swing that hammer. I'm a don't quit until I get the job done club member. May never be president, but when I lay down my head at night, I take pride in what I do. I'm blue collar.
Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. Tim Harmon of Columbus 2020, Christine Gardner of the Ohio Association for Career Tech, our guest today, and that's what we're talking about. What are the jobs of the future that may not necessarily require a college education? What are those jobs, and how do we get young people ready for them? Tim, I keep hearing about manufacturing as an industry that back in my day, you literally could get out of high school, walk on the factory floor, and be a productive employee. In many cases, it takes a lot more developed skill set today than it used to.
That's right. I mean, it used to be that it was all manual and physical labor, and you relied on your grit and your determination to get through the day. Today, most of those factory floors are clean enough you could eat off of them, and you're interacting with technology throughout the entire day. So you still have to have a strong work ethic, but you're using your skill set and you're developing skill sets differently. And so that high school traditional pathway may not prepare you completely. Where the career tech comes into play is it begins to advance those technology skills and how to use those in harmony with industry. And it's also preparing those students early on. 15, 16, 17-year-olds are capable of going onto the line floor, understanding how that technology works. They can work iPhones and other gadgets better than the rest of us anyhow. Now we simply apply that intuitive nature that students have and put it towards a production end.
Now, beyond manufacturing, you can't drive around Central Ohio, anywhere for that matter, Christine, and not notice that there are new hospitals going up, and the old hospitals are having wings added, and there are minute clinics, and there are urgent... The healthcare industry seems to be exploding. I assume along with that comes the need for trained people in that industry.
That's right. And one of the best things about career tech is that it exposes a student who is interested in healthcare generically to all the different types of jobs available in healthcare. Traditionally, we think of doctors and nurses, but there's so much more. There are the technicians who have to run some very highly technical equipment, and they need the skills and training to be able to do that. So you're right, as all of this healthcare is exploding, the need for people who can work in those healthcare facilities is very great.
And with that additional skill set, the pay has increased as well. And so as these students finish their career tech experience and graduate, they're going into the workforce at a career entry level, not at a minimum wage level. They're coming in at $12, $14, $16 and up, especially in the healthcare field.
That's right. And then they're uniquely positioned to get as much education or additional skills as they want to.
We're chatting about career tech in Ohio. Tim Harmon is with Columbus 2020. Christine Gardner is with the Ohio Association for Career Tech. At a state and federal policy level, folks, are there things we can be doing? I know there's discussion about reorganizing how education is governed in the state of Ohio, but whether it's reorganizing to emphasize career tech or just general policy issues, what comes to mind, Christine, that we could do down at the State House that would make career tech even better in Ohio?
I would say anything that really helps business and education work together. Anything that streamlines the process of getting new programs in a school, of getting students internships and apprenticeships, any of those types of help that we could get from the State House to really, you know, maybe provide incentives for businesses to participate or other types of programs that really holds up those kinds of work-based learning and really respects that a lot of the learning happens through being on a job site or working in a healthcare facility or somewhere else where a student's going to get some actual real experience.
Absolutely. Connecting industry and education is an opportunity for the State House to help us out. And the Ohio Department of Education has actually done that in creating a success-bound conference. So that's an opportunity where they're pulling industry and educators together. This was first launched in 2017, and the second edition is coming just around the corner at the end of April and May of this year. And though they're going to be held regionally across the entire state, and you'll have your career techs coupled with your K-12 educators, coupled with industry in the room, having conversations of what those in-demand skills are, and also what the resources are necessary to deliver those ongoing trainings.
We are talking about career technical education in Ohio and making sure we connect young people with jobs of today and the jobs of the future. Helping us understand that better, Christine Gardner. She is with the Ohio Association for Career Tech. Tim Harmon is with the Columbus 2020 Group, a Central Ohio Economic Development Organization. We'll be back to wrap up our conversation with Christine and Tim when we continue on Town Hall Ohio.
That looks like a good job, like a real good job to me. That looks like a good job, real good job.
Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. We're talking training up young people for careers that may not necessarily require a college degree, but yet can be fulfilling, can be well-paying, and a reason to stay in Ohio and raise the next generation here. Tim Harmon of Columbus 2020, Christine Gardner of the Ohio Association for Career Tech. I think it was Christine a little earlier mentioned that need to help connect business to the career tech schools in their neighborhoods. A little bit more about what that looks like, Tim. How do you help make that connection?
Absolutely. And at the local level, it's being engaged, and industry has a key role to play there. They're looking at the education system, the career tech, as their supplier of their most important asset, their workforce. And for them to ensure that that supply chain is continually flowing, they need to put some skin in the game. They need to open up their doors and allow for tours. They need to be engaged in providing resources. And those resources can take a number of different views. They can be financial. They can be providing resources for the labs, equipment. And, you know, many of our great employers in Ohio are already doing this, but we got to get more. We got to get more engaged and more that are working at the local level to say it's critical to us that our workforce is prepared and that we're going to be able to continue to grow with the economy and with the state of Ohio.
So is that part of what you do, is preach that message? Do the career tech schools need to preach that message? Who does it?
I think it's everybody's job. It's our communities. It's what Tim described is a partnership. And in some pockets of the state, it works. And it works very well where they've really developed a meaningful working relationship and partnership between the business industry and the demand and the schools.
One of the things that we touched on this a little bit ago is almost the feeling that a career training educational path is somehow less than a college preparatory path. Tim mentioned it, and I'll let you start there, Christine, that it's not just a decision for the student. You got to get family buy-in to this.
Right. And you know, many, many families think that the only path to happiness is through a college degree. And it really depends on what your talents are, what your gifts are, what you want to do, because it takes a lot of soul searching, really, to know what you want to do. And 50% of career tech students do go on to college, and they go on equipped with skills and ahead of some of the other students in post-secondary education who weren't exposed to any of the work-based learning that career tech students are.
Agreed. A young mind at 15 and 16 can explore those career opportunities hands-on in a career tech environment, and that can help them make lifelong decisions on whether they do want to pursue additional education or they want to go straight into the workforce. And oh, by the way, they can re-engage with the career tech at another time after they've changed their mind or their skill set or matured and started a family, and maybe they want to go back to the career tech and learn another skill a few years later.
I should have asked this when we had more than just about a minute, but real quick, I've been asking all my questions with the high school student in mind, but adults, I mean, this training opportunity is available at multiple age levels or for career changes.
Right. There are Ohio technical centers across the state, and their role is to work with adults who need to find a new skill. Maybe the business that they worked in went out of business and they need to find a new skill set. And what the Ohio technical centers focus on is very short-term getting those adults ready for employment and employment that exists.
And we have some great examples in the state of Ohio where our industry is using those career techs to reskill their own employees. And I have a vision. I would love to see those school doors open all the time, not just during the traditional school hours, but in the evenings, where now you have first shift coming in and learning a new skill in the evening so that they can continue to grow within industry and stay loyal to their employer.
Getting young people and even adults ready for new wave types of careers in Ohio in the career tech industry, helping us understand exactly what's going on in that whole educational experience today. I want to thank Tim Harmon of Columbus 2020, Christine Gardner of the Ohio Association for Career Tech. Thanks for being in here, folks, and thanks to all of you for tuning in this week on Town Hall Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.